Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area. And the good news is that we now have over 250,000 listeners worldwide in over 90 countries. And I just want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful support. Today's show will feature QAnon in a live interview during the first hour from 2 to 3 p.m. Seattle time. Joining QAnon will be Emma Louise Hansen and her soulmate, Jan Erik Karstensen from Norway. Emma is actually from the Andromeda Galaxy, and I know her insights will be really amazing. So I'm looking forward to talking to both of them along with Q as well. We'll be talking about how we can all make this world a much better and happier place. Then from 3 to 3.30 p.m. Seattle time, I'll be talking about my upcoming presentation on Messages from the Masters from 6.30 p.m. to 7.30 p.m. at Watkins Books in London, England on Thursday, June 13th. Watkins Books is Europe's most spiritual bookstore. I'm really looking forward to it. In addition, Michiko Hayashi will be talking about her upcoming presentation at Watkins Books in London on Thursday, June 20th, from 6.30 to 7.30 p.m. Both presentations are free, and I hope you can come. Finally, from 3.30 to 4 p.m. Seattle time today, I'll be talking about my upcoming trips to Mount Shasta, which is one of the world's most spiritual places. The cost is only $200 per person, and I hope you can come. I'll be going to Mount Shasta twice this year, from July 2nd to July 8th, 2019, and again from September 5th to September 11th, 2019. Mount Shasta is a very special and magical place where miracle healings occur from the Telosians and the beautiful people of Telos and the Hollow Earth. It's hard to believe, but 100 miles beneath Mount Shasta, there's an entire city, an entire civilization that's been there for approximately 12,500 years. They exist in the fifth and higher dimensions. They communicate telepathically, but they are humans just like us, and they're here to help us. When we're at Mount Shasta, we always also see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying in and around Mount Shasta. The last time we were there, we were able to telepathically contact a Pleiadian UFO, and they did a dance for us, and Adama, the high priest of Telos, also healed the vision in my eyes, restoring them to perfect 20/10 crystal clear eyesight in both eyes. For the last 40-odd years, I've had blurry 20/50 vision in my right eye, but that's all changed since last September, and I have crystal clear vision in both eyes. I'll be also talking about other miracle healings which have happened while I was there, and I hope you can come. If you'd like to go, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. Billy Woodards and his father Zora from the Hollow Earth may also be on the show. I hope you can listen to this Out of This World broadcast. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone so much support for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all your beautiful help and support, because I know together we can create a much better and happier world. And with that, I have to thank my supporters, wonderful people, Corey and Saul and Kirkland, for their fantastic and beautiful support, as well as my wonderful friends, Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Jan Erik and Emma Louise, who will be coming on the show in a few minutes, in Norway, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers for the show. Any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 90 countries with 250,000 listeners. With that, I'd like to thank my wonderful friend Carol, who designs my website, provides lots of wonderful support, my friends in the Galactic Alliance, who I know are listening today and been supporting my show for many years, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, Eric here at KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. He does a wonderful job. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. It's only $100 a month or $500 for 6 months. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on or contact your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me at 509-750-9793. 1-888-379-9793 or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. I also have some wonderful fairs coming up I wanted to tell you about. Tomorrow, on Saturday, May 18th, from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., I'll be attending the Tacoma Psychic Fair at 5405 South Puget Sound Avenue in Tacoma, Washington. It's just off of 56th Street in South Tacoma. The event's free, and I hope you can come. With that, I'd like to, Eric, were we able to get on our friends? Good, okay, Emma Louise and Jen. Jen Eric from Norway, and then I'll welcome Q to the program. Emma Louise, are you there?
Hello, Ted. I'm here.
Oh, good. It must be late there in Norway. What time is it, Emma?
It's in the evening, 11 o'clock in the evening.
Okay. Okay. And is it today that's Norway's Independence Day or tomorrow?
It's our National Day today.
Oh,
yes.
Good. Well, congratulations.
17 May.
Oh, wonderful.
Thank you.
Well, happy.
Thank
well,
you.
Happy National Day there in Norway. And Jan Erik, are you there?
Yes, I am. I am here.
Great, great. Good to have you on the show, to have both of
Thank you
on the show.
Thank you so much.
Very clear connections. And Q, are you there?
Hello, hello.
Okay, Q, welcome back again to the show. I'm so glad you could come on today, my friend.
Yeah, unconditional love to you and everyone who's listening. Thank you for doing this. You're so brave. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, well, it's my duty. It's my duty to do this, and that's the purpose in my life, is to try to make this planet a better place. Q, real quick, I remember you suggested that we have this show on today on how to make the ways people can make this world a better place. And I'd love to hear your view on that, followed by Emma and then Jan Erik from Norway.
Very good. Thank you for creating the agenda. Yeah, I guess, you know, when I suggested this, a couple things. I think we've observed, if we've been here a while, maybe some choices that we don't prefer. And so if we're under the assumption that we create everything we believe and vice versa, then it seems to me we have the opportunity to create unbelievable miracles and or unconditional love and better choices, maybe, if we believe this place could be improved. And I guess that's where my thought came from, is that maybe, I know it's fun to talk about the issues we observe and experience and have the camaraderie amongst our peers, but I think it's time for us all to make some choices that we prefer if we have the assumption that this could be a happier, better place.
Well, that makes good sense. That makes wonderful sense. Emma, I'd love your opinion on that. And if you could tell people briefly about your own background and your background from the Andromeda Galaxy, please.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting us. It's this is what I'm here to do, to try to make this a better place for everyone. So I don't really know, but I know that you asked if I could come with some messages today.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And perhaps I could tell a little bit about who it is that I'm having the messages from.
Okay, that'd be great.
So, yeah, so I am a registered nurse here in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what I'm doing. I'm also calling myself a living soul, because that's what I feel that I am. So I want to say a little bit about who I am representing. And for me, I'm representing the white avatar consciousness. And to be honest, I was given the honor of naming this vibrational frequency as a child. But it's probably also been named before. I mean, names are only tags and definitions, and usually they are very programmed with belief systems behind them.
Right.
So this consciousness is vibrating in a frequency out of this physical world that we are living in, and almost out of reach of our vocabulary and name tagging. So I say almost, because with focus and practice, everyone that puts their heart into it can learn to bring this forward. Mm-hmm. And personally, I have been trained for my whole childhood in this lifetime and also spent a whole lifespan in the Andromeda galaxy with my master Oriel. And this is a place that I remember very well. And I'm also very aware that many people would say that this may be a program as well. But this is what I remember, and my training facilities in the Andromeda Galaxy was in a place that I called, or it was called the Silent Garden. And this was housed by the House of El. Mm-hmm. And white avatar consciousness can, of course, embody a physical vessel as it is part of this universal consciousness. And white avatars are universal consciousness energy that vibrate at a very softly frequency. Mm-hmm. It is also consciousness that has a full overview of all that is going on. But at the same time, that doesn't mean it wants to address everything. Mm-hmm. And their messages are very profound, simple and easy to understand, but also very vast in the depth of the knowledge and wisdom they are carrying. And this consciousness is using every natural opportunity to communicate with me and everyone else that wants to listen. And for me, it is especially through the elements in nature and mostly water. So when I'm in water, I'm having a very good time. It's very harmonious and a lot of unconditional love that is very difficult to explain with human words. So I would say that I'm not saying that I'm having the only truth there is, but I'm saying that I have had unusual experiences since I was a child in this lifetime and beyond. And everything that I talk about is self-experienced, and most of it I experience through nature. And I had a father that was very, he took very good care of me in many ways. He made sure that I was never vaccinated. I was never allowed to watch television, listen to radio, or read books. I was going into art school. And so I was very protected from being programmed by the outer world.
Do you think he would have let you listen to my show?
Not back then. Okay. I was not allowed to listen to anything.
All right, that's fine. I had to ask that. So. Anyway.
Yeah. So when I was in nature today, it's the National Day of Norway. And for me, I don't see borders. I just see one planet. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm working for. So I wasn't in the street and parading today okay. because it's just too much different frequency around me. So I mm-hmm. went into nature with my dog and prepared for this radio show today.
Oh good.
So all I want to bring to the table is unconditional love. Is all I have.
How nice. Well, I have a lot more questions to ask you, but I want to move on to Jan Erik. Hi, how yes. are you doing there today, my friend?
Hello Ted. Hello. I'm here.
Good.
Yes, I can tell a little more about myself. I'm working now as a master carpenter. Mm-hmm. And I have a normal job, 7 to 3 o'clock every day. Mm-hmm. But I also a very, what to say, high-spirited person. So I also very contact with the water element. Mm-hmm. So I have lots of experience with water. And I also... I also working for the same thing as Emma, working for the planets. When I'm always talking to people, I always talking about the planets in one. So when you're going to bring the conscious higher to the planet, we need all to be on the same path to understand that we are one in our minds and conscious when we talk about to survive on this planet. And we have to behave. So I also talk about environment issues, and pollutions, everything mm-hmm. about this to get people to understand we need to take care of our planet now.
Well, absolutely right. I know that the planet is that we polluted the planet badly over the centuries, and it's time for us to love Mother Earth and treat her with the respect yeah. and love and kindness she needs. Going back to Q, are you there?
I sure am, Ted.
Okay, wonderful.
I think Jan Eric was talking about you when he said behaving.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you. Well, I have to ask you, Q, do your people know Emma's people, and do Emma's people know your people? I'm sure you know one of each other. Do you have contacts with the Andromedans?
Okay, so it is quite clear that synchronicity is taking place more frequently as we align with our truth. And, of course, that the memories that we're getting back are part of the synchronicity of remembering who we are. So, of course, that both on a soul level, we have relationships, and a galactic level is safe to assume. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And I know, Emma, this question's to you. I know that the Andromedans, the humans living in the Andromeda galaxy, from what I've read from Alex Collier, they actually have a blue skin. Is that right? And they live for much longer than we do here on the surface of the planet.
Yeah, well, I remember a lot of different types of races from the place that I was in, or the planet that I was in. There were those that had blue skin, but there were also others. So The ones that I were with had very white skin, almost the surface of the white moonstone that we have here on Earth.
Uh-huh. Wow.
So I was in contact with many different beings. And, you know, I just want to say one thing, that for me, Andromeda was the last lifetime I had before I came to this planet. And it was, I remember so much of it because I was sent here with this mission I have. Mm-hmm. And the next lifetime, maybe I will say, oh, I was from planet Earth, you know, in my previous lifetimes.
That's right.
So
that's
we
right.
we do have different places that we visit. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely believe that what Q just said, it is that we are like, it's part of our awakening.
Well, I have to
remember different
lifetimes. Well, I have to tell you, of course, this is a time of truth where things that are true will be shown to be true, and those that are false will be shown to be false as well. And this is a question to all three of you today, and I'm so happy you're all on the show today, by the way. Simon, my friend Simon Parks couldn't come on today, but he'll be coming on a week from today. And but one of the things on his website I wanted to bring you all up to speed on, I'm sure you've heard about it, where WikiLeaks had released footage of alleged fake moon landings shot in the Nevada desert back in the late 60s. And that was given out as the whole moon landing was a hoax. Is there any credence to those reports? I have to ask you from your perspective, Emma Louise, Jan, and Jan Eric, and Q. Q, why don't you go first?
Well, it's my understanding that these timelines are very well thought out when we observe the spoon feeding of information, we'll call it. Mm-hmm. And so assume that they're many, many years ahead of the bulk of society in the conditioning of what is to be believed. So I'll do my best to keep this short, but you get two opportunities with the fake moon landing assumption. Is now you have us guessing both ways on both sides of the fence. Mm. And that's the short version. So if you choose to believe that it's fake, you can choose that the people putting out the information are putting out fake information. Mm-hmm. And or you can believe the organization who did the moon landings lied to us, or both. Okay. Either way, you get a nice set of confusion.
Sure.
And now why would we create this very large swath of confusion? Well, maybe because a lot of us are going to have some people show up and tell us the real story.
Oh,
that would
I see.
Be my opinion.
Okay. All right. Emma Louise, then we'll go on to Jan Eric. What do you think of this story about the fake moon landings?
Uh, Well, for me,
did I shock you? I'm sorry.
No, you didn't shock me. I heard this many, many years ago.
Okay.
Well, to say it like this, I don't really concern myself with it because there is so much information out there now that is trying to lead us from a true path, as I see it.
That's true.
And yeah, and one of the things is that the controllers of this world, they know a couple of things about frequency, energy, and vibration, and they're using this to create fear and chaos through the mass media, for one thing,
okay,
and also other channels.
Uh-huh.
And if you go into all of this, we kind of lose the path of seeking within, mm-hmm, and, you know, get in touch with our own power. So to be honest, I mean, what's the point of discussing if it was true or not?
Mm.
If you are standing there and just listening to something that is outside of yourself, I mean, why don't you go in and find your inner core and connect to the only consciousness that can truly give you the answers?
Emma, very well put. Very well put. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you. Thank you, Q. I also want to say that I'm very aware of the timelines shifting. I've been in the middle of the timelines. I can say this. I'm a soul changer, so I'm jumping through timelines. I'm not saying this to be anything special or anything. Mm-hmm. I consider everyone as my brother and sister, mm-hmm, and we are all equal. But I have seen through the timelines that there are a lot of different stories about the same. So let's just focus within. I think that's my final thing on this question.
Good, good point. Good point. Jan Erik, would you like to make a comment on that?
Yes, I will. What Emma was talking about now is so true, mm-hmm, about this programming on the planet. We know from the history, the controllers make a movie from if it was failing, because there was the time when the United States and Russia was not good friends.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to beat the Russian on the moon landing.
Right.
So Zurich was actually making that film. But this was as a safety thing for them to actually fake. But they have been on the moon. They're still on the moon. They have bases on the moon, and everything is like that. But the same thing, time what Emma talking about. Everything is by your heart. You have to follow your heart all the time, because your heart is giving you the answer, the direction. What is the truth and what is the fake?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the main thing people need to know, is to go in themselves, go into the heart motion, the heart feeling, and get that your guiding line to every information who's flowing all around now. Mm-hmm. Because there's so much information now flowing around. People have problem to follow. So that's my...
Okay, thank you. And Q, I'd love your opinion on it, too.
Well, I don't think I could add much to that. It's quite clear, if we follow our wildest excitement, that it creates perfect synchronicity and harmony in our community. And
right.
I think I would just reiterate what Jen, Eric, and Emma have just said. It's a beautiful statement. Thank you both.
Thank you.
I wanted to tell you and all my audience, I'm so glad you guys share your opinion there, that James Redfield, the author of the book Celestine Prophecies, will coming live on my show a week from today. And he will actually be in Seattle on a promotional tour. And for those of you who'd like to see him or meet him in person, please send me an email and I could perhaps help arrange that. But he will be coming on my show a week from today. Hugh, what kinds of things do you see happening this year in terms of awakening in people?
Well, I think the biggest opportunity for I'll speak for North America. The biggest opportunity will be to bridge the gap between the philosophical teaching and legacy philosophical teaching and the science community. If we follow someone like, if we prefer to read up with Dr. Rupert Sheldrake, you know, he's broken apart the 10 assumptions that are the rigid dogma associated with science that is now being folded down for a lot more open dialogue within our legacy scholastic processes. And it is fabulous to see that, and it is this, we'll say, the generation maybe before us, we've inherited some of their beliefs, but when we come to the conclusion that everything we've ever learned has come from someone else, something else, or somewhere else, so which ones are your beliefs then? And I commend Mr. Sheldrake for his bravery, but if you catch some of his conferences, and you're going to see others like Dr. Sheldrake, but for me, he's got it right on, and he's doing a great job of articulating our edge, our stepping stone from philosophical and science as one. That would be my opinion, yeah.
Absolutely. And to add to that, too, I think Jerry Pollack is also doing that as well with his studies on water with his Institute for Venture Science at the University of Washington. There's a lot of good scientists out there who are interested in looking at alternative things. Emma, I'll first go to you and then Jen Eric and then back to Q again. Emma, what do you see happening this year in terms of awakening and disclosure?
I do have a message from the White Avatar Consciousness.
Okay.
For this year, if you like to have it.
Yes, please.
Because this kind of, for me, how I see it, it kind of answers the question you have. So I was given this when I was in the forest today, so I'll just read it up.
Okay.
So this is a message for humanity from the White Avatar Consciousness. And remember that the White Avatar Consciousness is the consciousness that we all can connect to. It's not something that only I can connect to. Everyone can connect to it if they focus and go within. So for a long time, the focus of humanity has been seeking the truth from a point outside of themselves. This seeking will continue till the programmed ego is pleased, which is in fact a timeless search, or till the spirit of humanity starts to search within. In the search of truth, humanity has accused and judged each other for whether telling the truth or not. Humanity is now entering a stage where this game of truth or dare needs to be replaced with personal responsibility and focus on inner work, which again will lead to outer change. This inner path of seeking, at the end everyone must take, will lead to a core of personal strength. This strength can be compared to a zero ground that lies within every spirit embodied into the cells of the human vessel, an inner core of knowledge and wisdom that comes from knowing and not belief. This is in all of you, which again connect you all with the universal womb. This universal womb is known by many names: God, Creator, Source, all based in programmed belief systems and not knowing. This universal womb is the sparkling darkness that all of you find yourself into after leaving the physical vessel, a spirit or soul, this sparkling darkness of all-knowing consciousness, where the knowledge and wisdom of energy, frequency, and vibration lies. The universal number of the end and the beginning is the 9. Between you find the 3 and the 6, this loop of forever recreating universe is alive with symbols and numbers to understand. from the zero ground within yourself, the gate of the universe, you find the avatar consciousness, find this gateway, and you will start to act as one humanity, being awake or enlightened or aware. Humans have many names. From a zero ground, your action will always be in the highest interest for all living souls. This includes what you define as animals, plants, trees, water, minerals, soil, air, and so on. It includes all the elements, also you, because you as a human is also nature. Mm-hmm. In this avatar consciousness, they are one for all and all for one, mm-hmm. as a famous quote say, mm-hmm. all living creation is equal, and one humanity will act for the best of the planet. You are the planet, the galaxy, and the universe. We are all interconnected, mm-hmm. and in the longer run, as humanity, you're heading toward an interstellar coexistence. This bring forward.
Could you repeat your last sentence, Emma Louise? We missed it. Cut out.
Entangled in.
Okay, Emma, can you hear me okay? We lost part of what you said just now. Okay, anyway. All right, Jan Erik, I'd love your opinion on that.
Yeah, that was quite a speech from Emma there. Mm-hmm. she's a really high level lady, this one.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a little speechless now because she mentioned so many things. I can't put some more words in, actually.
Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right, my friend. No worries. And Q, I love your opinion on it.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm a Jan Erik, and that was a very broad brush of my opinion of our relationship to living with one another is everything has consciousness. And you can tell by the posts and so forth that we look for simple statements so that we can find and examine easy ways to communicate that beautiful speech you just said, that there's not enough words in our vocabulary to explain that everything is consciousness. Mm-hmm. Everything. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us how we'd like to experience it. That's how I have.
I'd like to get back to the theme of the program today about making the world a better place, if we could. What kinds of small things do you think people could do? We'll start with you, Q, and then move on to Emma Louise and Jan Erik.
Well, you know, we talked about our communication with one another. I mean, last time we had this show. But it's quite clear there's some more intrinsic things we may want to consider. Mm-hmm. I look at the industrial medical industry globally and the millions of dollars that are sponsored, assumed to be nonprofit, millions and millions of resources put towards these large medical institutions. And I ask, who is donating energy finances to the alternative medical industry? I have witnessed instant healing. And I know you have too, Ted.
Right, I have.
But it's supposed to be a phenomenon for quacks, apparently. I have seen water heal people. Mm-hmm. I have seen many, many technologies that have been excluded from what we assume to be the medical industry. And I am to the point of frustrated and outright mad at how we kill our people through the medical industry.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm sure you know this history, and many listeners do know the history of what happened. But before the 1920s, most medical practitioners here in the United States, anyway, used herbs and very simple means, but very effective means, natural means to help cure and help clients. In the 1920s, the Rockefellers took it over and made it a very profitable business with the pharmaceutical industry prescribing drugs and made it a very expensive model for medical care. And notice the term medical care. They don't cure anything. They simply care for you, but they don't really provide any cures for anything.
Yes, and so I do not want to get off the tracks on people within the medical industry. There's so many beautiful people doing their best.
Sure.
It's the basis for the dogma that we assume in such a short period of time. I ask, can we look at the medical industry 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago? Mm-hmm. 35,000 years ago, how did we heal each other?
Right. Right. Well, I know that in ancient Egypt, 5,000 years ago, all the doctors there, there's a pyramid at Luxor, and they have a hieroglyphic inscriptions, and they say that every disease was a dis-ease. In other words, there was a spiritual reason for all diseases. And if you solved that spiritual reason for whatever physical problem you had, then you would be cured here in the third dimension. You needed almost they cured people on the higher dimensions before they were cured here in the third dimension.
Yes, of course. Please, I defer to the rest of your guests. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Emma Louise, would love your opinion on that, on that, if you could.
On the medical industry, you mean?
Yeah, medical and healing ourselves and healing ourselves too. And you're a nurse,
yeah,
so you might
healing
have
ourselves.
Yeah.
I'm a nurse. As I mentioned, I've never been vaccinated, mm-hmm. and I never will be either. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna go into that, but I mean, I have something that I like to share about this, because the medical industry today, it's just a terror organization making us sick. And I have met with a lot of scientists and doctors. They say the same thing. Mm-hmm. I met with doctors and scientists that have been putting amazing devices in front of the medical boards. And I even know one that have been, you know, been threatened, and he was almost killed.
Wow.
So there are things going on, but I'm not going to go into that. But as a nurse, I know that we can heal ourselves.
Right.
And as a child, regarding to our vessels, I was a lot into nature. And one of the things that nature taught me was that it's actually not about our genes. It's about our cells. Because I was shown that the positive and the negative polarities within every cell that we have is like a power station, like mm-hmm. a high voltage. Mm-hmm. And I could see this high voltage as a stream of energy flowing into a field of this conscious field, again, consciousness. Mm-hmm. And in this way, I saw that all is interconnected to all, and it's interconnected all the time. So I also saw that most people, they are very unaware of this, mm-hmm. and they are making decisions out of an unconscious choice. So I was thinking, how can this be? How can we be so unaware of this magnificence that we can be? We can heal ourselves with this mm-hmm. knowledge. And then I begin to see that the trees and the plants and the water and everything, animals, they were communicating through vibration
right.
in the forest.
Right, wow.
And you know, that means that everyone have probably walked into a room and they can feel the energy in the room.
Sure.
I mean, this is something that we should teach our children from they are small, like from 0 to 6 years old, they are in the state where they are most easily programmed. Mm-hmm. So they are very sensitive, and we should be teaching them about this sensitivity to vibration so they do not choose badly for themselves as grown-ups.
Sure. Sure.
And as they are growing up.
Mm-hmm.
So also just think about relationships in general, the things that we are making. I could go into the Atlantean times where we actually saw each other as interactive waves and not physical bodies with a language, because the language can deceive and it hides our emotions, but vibration cannot hide anything. And humans are made of atoms, but we are also waves, and the waves are part of a field of waves. And you can call it light if you like. I mean, that's easier to understand for especially spiritual people.
Mm-hmm.
But in this field of waves, we are connected to everything, and waves cannot be separated. So here comes the typical spiritual belief system that, you know, separation is an illusion, because this wave system cannot be separated. So in this field of waves, we also have thought patterns, mm-hmm. like thinking patterns. Mm-hmm. So everything we send out as a positive or negative thought pattern is affecting everything. So if you're judging yourself or you're judging a person, this negative thought pattern or wave will actually go out into this field of consciousness that we all are connected or intertwined with. Mm-hmm. And this person will feel this in his physical body. And we are sending out vibrational frequency of thought pattern, and this is being responded on. Mm-hmm. So when I send out love, I receive love, and when I send out, let's say, hate, I receive hate. Mm-hmm. So how does this relate to creating a better world? Well, first of all, this is actually what your consciousness is resonating with. The vibrational frequency that we are sending out. So this is a part of healing the body. And it's also very important because everything that we are resonating on if we are resonating on the same vibrational frequency, and this can be done, for example, in world service groups when people meet together and meditating mm-hmm. on the same thought, for instance. We are collectively co-creating our reality, so it is so important that our focus is on whatever we like to co-create. And of course, it should be a better place for everyone. And this is why, again, we have to go within and connect to the internet and not the internet. We have to connect to the sparkling darkness consciousness, the avatar consciousness that I already talked about. Yeah. So this is the consciousness of us all. This is like the control center, the commander of us as a humanity, and going back to healing ourselves, our body and our cells are co-living as a collective field of thought patterns, and our mind is controlling this. So are all living beings on this planet. So I just say, please connect with this inner field in you. And be the commander of your own body, because you can heal yourself.
Well, I'd like to share.
Because,
go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say everyone has heard about the placebo, but that is the positive effect.
Right.
I actually read science, or mm-hmm. not science, but research, mm-hmm. That say that medicine today is just a placebo effect. And remember, everything has a duality. So placebo also have a negative way. So if you're thinking negative thoughts, you are actually damaging yourself and others. So we have to start working with ourselves and our inner thought patterns, so to say.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more, Emma. That's such beautiful words of wisdom. Just real quick, I did an experiment when I had Dr. Masuro Emoto on my show on July 25th. 2014, from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. Seattle time. You can listen to this interview at my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Back then, in the middle of the show, I asked if Dr. Moto's techniques for sending positive thoughts to water could also create world peace. And he said yes. So what we did is I spontaneously asked Dr. Moto and all my listeners listening at the time worldwide to send lots of love and light to the Palestinians and the Israelis who were having a tremendous battle in the Gaza Strip at the time. And we all prayed and meditated that there would be a 12-hour ceasefire to exchange medical supplies and food for the wounded. The show ended at 4 p.m. Seattle time. I went back to where I was staying. And at 8:30 p.m., I turned on the TV, and there on the CNN, it was CNN back then, on the very bottom of the screen, it said that the Israelis and the Palestinians had just agreed to spontaneously to a 12-hour ceasefire to feed the wounded, to give food to the wounded and medical care to the wounded on both sides. So the experiment did work. So I couldn't agree with you more, Emma, that we are all powerful spiritual beings with the ability to heal ourselves. Jan Eric, I'd love your opinion, and we'll go to a Q after that.
Yes, I will try to say something. We are very big healers, everyone. Mm-hmm. But the programming of very, very small children talking about, if you're going to get sick, you need to go to the doctor.
Right.
And the doctor gives you chemicals, stuff. Mm-hmm. And from that that stage there, people get programmed and only think the doctors will gonna heal you. But if you have the opposite way, if we have from the childhood going to a healer,
right,
the experience will be different. They say they can go to a person and the person could go and see the vibration on the person they're going to heal, mm-hmm, and feel the vibration. And if they connect, they get healed.
Mm-hmm.
This is the only way to understand the healing system.
Right.
Because we are in a world now, everything now is by technology.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Everything going down to the computer and ask for a doctor. And then you say, my problem is this. And you type it in, mm-hmm, and the computer goes back and says, yes, you have this problem. If mm-hmm you have these symptoms.
Right.
Mm. So we are so into the technical world now.
Right.
It's very difficult for people to handle if you say, I can heal you.
Right.
But you need to open yourself to be healed.
That's true.
This is the main thing. You need to, the people who have problems, they need to open their eyes, mm-hmm, and the vibration.
Sure.
Or you can't heal them.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you, Jan Eric. Q, I'd love your opinion on that. I mean, what do you see happening? Do you think people will start waking up that they can heal themselves in the future?
Many things for sure. I think our beliefs will be pleasantly and softly challenged when we understand the difference between thinking and believing. Hmm. So I believe I think are intentionally this English language, I can speak with the English language, that it's confusing to understand the difference.
Mm-hmm.
Once we start believing, we will start seeing. That would be my opinion.
I couldn't agree with you more. The Dr. Moto, of course, found that everything is vibration. Things vibrate at a certain wavelength. Cancer cells, for example, vibrate at what's called 2 hertz per second. The frequency of love is 528 hertz. And as the vibrations of this planet go higher and higher, we should have less disease and less human suffering than we have had in this third dimension. And it's possible to heal people. Dr. Moto's office uses specialized water machines which program water to help people in a very effective way for almost any physical or spiritual condition. And it's very, very effective, the kind of work they do. We'll be talking about that here at the top of the hour in just a few minutes. Q, I know a lot of people are asking many questions about you, and I'm so happy. Thank you so much for coming on today. What else could people do to make this planet a better place, Q, from your perspective?
Okay, so you're under the opinion that people are listening to the show.
Yes, I am.
Okay, if you say so. Well, I think I've said a lot already. We have choices to make. Mm-hmm. And every day we can all make a choice.
Right.
And in my opinion, we use our inner guidance for our wildest mm-hmm excitement. And synchronicity will create the fundamentals for this world being exactly what we want.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Emma, have you been on spacecraft yourself in this lifetime as a human on this planet?
Yes, I actually have.
Okay.
I have. Mm-hmm. You want me to tell you about it?
Yes, please. And is it? I'm sure it saves money on plane tickets, but where have you gone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell about one time. I was in the end of my nursing school, and I was writing my thesis. I was very tired, of course, because going into nursing school with the knowing that I had was very challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And I completely made everything crazy out there because I was constantly asking questions mm-hmm that mm-hmm you know, the Deccans, and they couldn't answer it. So I was making everyone crazy. And of course, I started to write a thesis about a topic that was completely impossible to write about, especially when you have to go and find sources in this treaty world. Mm-hmm. So one day I was, to be honest, I was on the brink to completely exhausting. I was like, I wasn't sure that I was able to continue my thesis, and I had just only 1 month again. Mm-hmm. With my exams. And one morning I was sitting on my bed and I was thinking, I have to pay my bills before I go to school, and I have to walk my dogs, and I was like thinking about everyday stuff.
Sure.
So I went out in the hallway and was going ready to go out with the dogs, and suddenly I felt this inner, it was like a magnetism to go back to my room and just lay down in my bed.
Okay.
And I just did that. Mm-hmm. And my dogs, they jumped up on the bed and laid down next to me. And suddenly this huge bright light came into the ceiling. Mm-hmm. And it physically lifted me up to the ceiling and straight into a ship. Oh. I was laid down. Yeah.
Wow.
You can say that. I was laid down on a white bench. Mm-hmm. It was made of some material. It looked like glass, but I don't think it was glass. Mm-hmm. It was three beautiful white tall beings standing there, mm-hmm. looking at me, telepathically communicating to me that I had nothing to be worried about. Mm-hmm. They were actually from the Pleiadians.
Oh.
And one of them started to work on my body with a device that looked like, it sounds very strange, but it had the same shape as a bread.
Okay.
And it was, you could see through it. Mm-hmm. And it has this light coming out of it. Mm-hmm. So this device was just taken over my whole body. Uh-huh. And I could just feel that all my systems in the body were kind of recalibrated, and my emotional patterns were also recalibrated.
Right.
And when they were finished with this, and I don't really know how long time this took, but when they were finished with this, they just sent me back down to my bed. Mm-hmm. And they went off.
Oh, that's amazing.
So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it is. And after that, I was completely healed. I was emotionally balanced, physically balanced.
Wow.
I can continue my thesis. I can continue my exams. And, wow. You know, I'm a nurse today. So
that's great. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
We've got just over 2 minutes left. And Jan Erik, would you like to comment on that very briefly? And then I want to finish up with Q at the end.
Yes, I also have been in contact with ships.
Okay.
But mostly I see them. Mm-hmm. I can't recall them. I can't recall I've been on one. Mm-hmm. But my memory is not so strong on that issue. I have flashbacks.
Okay.
But my most experience, I can see them very clearly. And very, very, I can see them very clearly. They're very often very close to me when I see them.
Okay.
It's only tree lines or over the heads or something.
Sure.
Very, very low altitude. So I can see the whole craft. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can see the body inside, mm-hmm. in the dome.
Okay.
I can see. So this is my experience.
Okay, Jan Erik. Thank you.
In this topic.
Thank you so much for sharing. I don't mean to cut you off. We've got about a minute left. Q, I'd love love to wrap up your wonderful interview today. Any experience with extraterrestrials in your work?
Well, it's safe to assume that we can't pull the Q post off on the technology we assume that's on the planet. I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
And just know that all of the truth about the Q post will come out intrinsically or organically. And it's a natural event for us to have this occurring. Mm-hmm. And notice that this plan never fails. It will never fail. It has never failed. Unconditional love will prevail.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, that's certainly a beautiful, bright future. And Q, Emma Louise, and Jan Erik from Norway, I want to thank you all so much for coming on today. And I can't wait to have you all on the show again. Please stay tuned, friends, to our next hour.
Thank you so much.